Okay, morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Ayin Aleph. We're really behind, so we have a work cut out for the rest, this morning. We're not going to catch up this morning, but I would like to try to get to the Mishnah on Ayin Aleph, Amud Aleph. So let's get underway. The first topic we're going to be discussing today is Kedushas Bechor. Let's remind ourselves, we are in the fourth parak of Chulin. We're going to be discussing throughout this fourth parak fetuses and status of fetuses. Okay, we started off the parak by talking about the permissibility of eating a fetus, and the halach is that if you shech the mother, you're allowed to eat the fetus, even if you have not given the fetus a shechita. But it's nita al de shechita simo, becomes permitted through the shechita of its mother. That was the first topic that we covered over the mesechta, and then we are moving on. We discussed yesterday, we started discussing the next mishnah of the fourth parak, which discusses the halach of Bechor. We all know that the firstborn animal that comes out of its mother, that is Petah Rechem, that breaks through the womb, is going to be a Bechor, is going to be the firstborn. It has Kedusha, it has sanctity. You have to give it to a Kohen. Kohen brings it up to Yerushalayim, offers it as a karban in Yerushalayim. Hence, Kedushas Bechor. So the Mishnah describes the following scenario. Hamevakeres, Hamekasha, Lele. Same story as the first Mishnah. We're back on Samech Tes Amud Beis. The baby is not coming out. The mother was struggling to get the baby out, and apparently it wasn't going to come out. So the Mishnah describes how you go inside the mother and you start cutting up the fetus into pieces, and you can give those pieces of the fetus to a kelv, to a dog. Right, it's nevela, and then becomes dog food. Yatzaruba hareze kaver. But once the majority of the baby comes out, so at that point in time, now you cover, you have to bury it because that's Kedushas Bechor. V'niftar amin Bechor. Now any subsequent animal that's born is going to be nifteris, is going to be pater from the from Kedushas Bechor because she had a firstborn. Although that which came out was not viable, it wasn't alive, but it was Petarechim, it did break through. That's what we learned in the Mishnah. The Gemara started off right away with an analysis of Bechor. Really, the first part of today's daf, right, from where we are starting right now in Samech Tes Amud Beis, all the way till we get to the next Mishnah, which will not be until Ayin Amud, the top of Ayin Amud Beis. So the next Amud of Gemara really belongs in Bechoros. We're going to be discussing all the issues of Bechor, not all of them, but everything we'll be discussing will be about Bechor, and so stay tuned. The first discussion that we're going to have in the Gemara is an analysis of at what point exactly, when precisely, is the birth of the firstborn going to be a Bechor? Meaning, well, let's see it in the Gemara. We started the Gemara yesterday. Let's start again. Yatzah shlish u'machalo v'kochavim. The first third of the animal comes out. Okay? So in other words, not the majority. As we've discussed time and again, in order for a birth to occur, you need the majority of the animal to come out, or, as we also pointed out, the head comes out, that's also considered a birth. But let's say the baby came out the other way, and legs first, and so the first third comes out. So that's not the majority. And you do is you sell that third to a guy. Now, should you, shouldn't you, right? My best guess would be you really shouldn't, because you want the animal to be a Bechor, but okay. Right now, that's not the point we're going to be trying to make. Yatzah shlish u'machalo v'kochavim. The first third comes out, you sell it to a non-Jew. V'chazar v'yatzah shlish acher. And the next third comes out. Rav Huna amar kadosh. So Rav Huna says it has kedushas bechor because two thirds obviously makes a majority. That's 66% of the infant that has come out. And so therefore says Rav Huna, it now has kedushas bechor. Ah, but you sold the first third to a non-Jew. Sale is null and void. It's not a sale because it's not yours. It's a carbon. Carbon doesn't belong to you. You have no right to sell that first third to a guy. Rabba Amar, Eino Kadosh. And Rabba says, no, it does not have Kedusha because the animal, the first third of the animal sold to a guy. Now, what's behind this machlokus? So the Gemara gives the following analysis. Rav Huna Amar Kadosh Kasav L'mafreya Kadosh. Because according to Rav Huna, it's Kadosh, it's L'mafreya. Meaning it's retroactive. Meaning, right, as we discussed this yesterday. So try to explain this yesterday. That according to Rav Huna, when the majority comes out, so now you look backwards. And you say, good, now that the majority of it has come out, now we're going to look backwards, we're going to say retroactively, you now have a full majority of the animal coming out, and so therefore, it has Kedusha. And so there's what the Gemara refers to as Gilui Milsa, right? It has been revealed to us retroactively that the animal has Kedusha. So that means then that if we could now go back to the very beginning of the birth, the moment that the first bit of animal comes out of the mother, it has Kedusha. Now, you'll say, but wait a second, that's not the majority. It doesn't have Kedusha until the majority comes out. Correct, but remember, once the majority comes out, then we looked backwards and we said, incrementally, as every little bit of it has come out, that was a Bechor. So now that we know that, we go backwards, we say the first bit comes out, the second bit, even when you get up to 33%, which is not the majority, it doesn't matter. It has Kedushas Bechor. You can't sell that to a guy. You can't sell it to anybody, really. But you certainly cannot sell it to a guy. And Rabbah says, no, that's not how it works. The way it works is, it only is imbued with Kedusha only after the majority has come out. Good. So now we understand, according to Rabbah, if the first third comes out and you sell it to a guy, the sale is a valid sale. Because that first third comes out, it does not have Kedusha yet. He doesn't work lemafreya. There's no retroactive according to Rabbah. So now that means that when the first third comes out, it's just a regular animal. It is only imbued with Kedusha only when the majority of it comes out. Umay de Zavin, Shapir Zavin. Now the Gemara is going to do the following. Give us another machlokus between Rabbah and Rav Huna, where you see exactly how this principle pans out. And the conclusion, each one is going to be consistent in his thinking, and the conclusion is going to be just the opposite. Consider the following case. Bizarre scenario. Okay, biologically explainable, I'm sure. The Gemara presents it. It's just hard to imagine. Now, remember, before I try to explain the case, right? One of the basic rules of being a Bechor and receiving Kedushas Bechor is that the baby has to come out derech rechem. It has to come out through the vaginal canal. If it goes out cesarean, it does not have Kedushas rechem. Again, all these principles are true both for animals and for humans. Birth of animals and birth of humans, obviously Kedusha means two different things for the two of them, but it's the same basic principle. So here the case is as follows. The first third of the baby, again, we're talking now about animals, first third of the baby came out via the dauphin, came out through the stomach wall, okay? They tried a cesarean. And then the next two-thirds of the animal came out derech rechem, came out through the normal, natural birthing canal.
Okay.
Now, right. I'm not sure. I need help over here, and I'm not sure. The animal split in half, or in this case, one-third, two-thirds, or it started coming out through the stomach and then
went back in
and then went back through the canal. I'm not 100% sure. I don't know. Let's yeah, but right. But as we've already established, though, you don't need a live birth in order to... So again, I do apologize. I feel bad. I'm not 100% sure what the case actually is, but in terms of principle, I understand what's about to happen. Because now, remember, we have our machlokus between Rav Huna and Rabbah. Now, remember, Rav Huna lets you look lemafre, lets you look retroactively, and Rabbah says, no, you don't look retroactively. You go only forward. You can't look backwards. Now watch carefully as the Gemara analyzes this scenario. Rav Huna Amar Eino Kadosh. So interestingly enough, Rav Huna says just the opposite in this case, meaning there will not be Kedusha. Now, right? Remember, Rav Huna was the same Rav Huna just a moment ago who said that in the case where you sold it to a guy, it will have Kedusha because it works lemafreya. That means, according to Rav Huna, that with every little bit that comes out incrementally, little by little, it is imbued with Kedusha. But over here, you need a majority of it to come out, and this is important because I got stuck on this Gemara for a while yesterday trying to understand this, but not just a majority of the animal to come out, the first majority of the animal to come out. That's the kicker. And that's, right, it took me a while. you know, I wish sometimes I wasn't so slow, but it's the first majority of the animal that needs to come out. So now, right, the first 51%. So here now, according to Rav Huna, you don't have it because a third of it came out the stomach, and now the next two-thirds is coming out through the regular normal canal, but that's not going to work because you need the first 51%. So according to Rav Huna, the conclusion is Eino Kadosh. Rabba Amar Kadosh. And Rabba says, no, over here it has Kedusha. Because according to Rabba, he's not a believer in the Lamafreya. He doesn't look retroactively. For him, there's nothing incremental. For him, at one point in time, you just look at it and say, did the majority come out through the canal? Yes? Good, it has Kedusha. Rav Huna Amar Kadosh. I'm sorry, Rav Huna Amar Kadosh. Rav Huna Latame, Da Amar Lamafreya Kadosh. Veruba Kama. The Gemara says it. Okay, veruba kama leisei barechem. The first 51% of the animal did not come out via rechem, because again, according to Rav Huna, every moment of birth becomes significant. Every moment, because you look lamafreya, and you need the first 51% of that birth to come out derech rechem in order for the animal to have kedushas bechor. In this particular scenario, that's not what happened. A third of it came out via Dofen. The next two-thirds came out via Rechem, but, in other words, the first 51% did not come out via Rechem. And Rabba Amar Kadosh, Rabba Latamid Amar Mikanu Labba Kadosh. Veruba Derech Rechem Nafik. Now remember, according to Rabba, not every moment of birth is significant. For Rabba, you look at the end result. What was the end result? Two-thirds of the animal came out based Rechem. So the animal now is Kedushas Bechor. Good. So, it takes a while to really get a good handle on how the both the principle of Rav Huna and Rabba and how it operates in the first case where you sold it first third to a guy, and in this case where the first third came out via the dofen. And the conclusion is, we'll get to the halacha in just a moment, and the conclusion is that in both cases, each one is going to walk away with a different conclusion, but it's the same, each one is maintaining its same principle. Utsricha, and the Gemara points out now, good, now that we've seen all this, now you understand why we need both cases. We absolutely need both cases. Because Utsricha, di'i yashmin bahaba, kamar Rav Huna, mishum de lakula. Look, right, Rav Huna in one case is coming out to be mekel and saying it's eno kadosh. Ava bahach de lachumra imamod de l'rabba. But in the first case where it comes out to be a chumra, so then maybe he agrees with Rav Huna. Meaning, look, each one comes out with the other conclusion, so you might have imagined that in either one of the cases, Rabba would agree to Rav Huna, Rav Huna may agree to Rabba. Okay, so the Gemara says, therefore, both cases are absolutely necessary. And
but it's pretty important with regard to Kedusha.
Correct. So the Gemara takes the Rav Huna approach. And again, the Rav Huna approach is the Lamafreya, meaning every moment of birth becomes significant in establishing its Kedusha. Okay. Yes? Right. Yeah, I'm with you. I totally agree with you. I don't know if the Gemara over here, it could very well be that really you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't sell it to a guy. And it wasn't right what he did. But the Gemara is really more focused right now on analyzing what part of the birth is significant. Okay? So it could be that Gemara is just focused right now on that analysis. And on the issue of should you or shouldn't you have, right? The Gemara just isn't dealing with that aspect of it. Okay. Tanan. We now take a step back and we look at our Mishnah. And our Mishnah, Amavakaris, Amakasha Leli, Mechate, Chever, Ever, Mashlech, Leklavim. Okay, what was our Mishnah? Our Mishnah's case was very simple. Right? Animal about to give birth, baby wasn't coming out, so the shepherd reached inside and started cutting the fetus up into pieces and took it out. Now, what did the Mishnah then say? He gave those pieces to a dog. Now, when he gives those pieces to a dog, obviously those pieces don't have Kedusha. If those pieces of fetus had Kedushas Bechor, then obviously couldn't give it to a dog. You're not allowed to take an animal that kedushas b'chor, even if the animal dies. You can't just simply give it to a cow. You can't give it to a dog. That's bizayon kachim. That's a disgrace. That's not a way to handle kachim. Okay? That's what the Mishnah says. Now, the Gemara is going to do a little bit of speculation. Maila mechatech umeniach. Okay. Now, in the Mishnah, the case could be, doesn't have to be, but the case could be, where he cut it up into pieces, and after cutting up a piece, he took it out and he put it down on the ground. He went inside, cut another piece, and put it down on the ground. To the point where now he looks at his little pile of dismembered fetuses, and it could now be that there's a majority sitting right there on the ground. So ultimately, Rove, a majority came out, and he put it down on the ground. Now, Iyamat lemafreyahu kadosh yikaver. Now, let's think about this a little bit more. If that's the case of the Mishnah, okay, now that's a little bit of speculation, but if that's the case of the Mishnah, then Rav Huna would have a big problem. Because what did Rav Huna say? Every little bit that comes out is significant. Meaning, we don't look at the sum total, but we look at it incrementally. Because he's a believer in lemafreya, that you look retroactively. So now, one limb, two limbs, little bits of it come out. When you get to the majority, ring it up. You now have the majority of the fetus coming out, albeit dead, albeit in pieces, but you have a majority of the fetus that came out. So now that means that that pile of fetus now has kedushas bechor. You can't give that to a dog. And the Mishnah says, go ahead, hand it to the dog. So obviously now Rav Huna is going to have a problem. You see, if you're Rabbah, you're fine. Because Rabbah says it only has kedusha when a majority comes out. And when we say when a majority comes out, we mean a whole majority has to come out. That never happened here. So from Rabbah's perspective, he understands the Mishnah. How did Rav Huna understand the Mishnah? So the Gemara says, in defense of Rav Huna, hach b'mayiskin b'mechatech u'mashlech. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to change our speculation of the Mishnah. The Mishnah's case is not where he took out a limb and put it down on the ground. Every time he took out a limb, he just simply threw it to the dog right away. Right, now according to Rav Huna, now you understand, because then when the next piece comes out, that first piece is lost. So you can't aggregate, you can't sum up now all the little pieces of fetus that came out, because with every piece that came out, you handed it to a dog. So the Gemara says, okay, if everything we're saying is true, and all of our analysis of the Mishnah is correct, so then the Mishnah could have given a really good distinction. So now you're telling me that had the Mishnah just deviated on one point, which is instead of cutting it up and throwing every piece to the dog, I cut it up and put it down on the ground and just let the pile of limbs build up until you get the majority. So now that means it has kedushas bechor. The Mishnah now could have just simply said, that makes all the difference in the world. Remember, when the Mishnah is obviously going to contrast a case where it has kedusha to a case where it doesn't have kedusha. And we say this time and again whenever we learn Mishnayos. The Mishnah is better off making the best distinction possible. So the Gemara says, now the Mishnah could have made the following distinction. Ad tana seifa yatsa ruba yikaver, meaning in the seif of the Mishnah, we talked about how the fetus came out in the majority. So mina bechor liflag v'lisne b'didei. Why doesn't the Mishnah give the following distinction? When is it true that it does not have kedusha? When you cut a limb, take out a limb and give it to a dog. That's when it doesn't have kedusha. Aval. But if I were to cut the limb and put it down on the ground, and cut the next limb and put it down on the ground, until you get to the majority, now it has kedushas bechor. Yikaver. You need to bury it now because that's kedushas bechor. So the Gemara answers, when faced with this issue of the Mishnah having a chance to make a better distinction, so the Gemara says, you know what? If you read the Mishnah again and read it carefully, that's pretty much what the Mishnah is saying. Hachinami kamar. Ba'medvar mamor mechatech umashlech hava mechatech umeniach. Nase kemi sheyatza rubo v'yikaver. Read the Mishnah again. You got to read it really carefully. Right? You have to have a little bit of an imagination, but that's pretty much what the Mishnah is saying, is that if you cut up the fetus, and instead of giving every piece to a dog, you put it down on the ground, and now you have a sum total of majority of the fetus right in front of you, as kedushas bechor. It's dome, it's like the majority of the fetus came out at one time. Okay? Again, all this is according to Rav Huna.
The Mishnah is recommending to do that. I mean, it's not like, well, something happened and then Mishnah is saying that somebody did this, so it threw it into the dark. So it's going to be. It's recommending to do, as soon as a piece comes out, it's saying throw it to the dark. So when would there be the chance that you would accumulate everything to become majority?
Right. So if, in other words, if there was no dog there, right? Just by circumstance, there's no dog there. And so now, the mother's in terrible pain, and you want that fetus now to come out, and you have to cut the fetus up. So if you happen to now put it on the ground, so now you move on to the next part of the Mishnah, which is, it now has Kedushas Bechor.
Can Rabuna say, look, this is a Ruba de Issa Kamal? There's no question that this is a Ruba.
Right, correct.
That strengthens his argument.
Correct. In other words, right, once you look at every incremental birth as birth, so then you certainly understand Ravuna's position.
And
okay.
If Mishnah is concerned about the Kedushas of Bechor, he would have said just keep it first and then throw it to the dog.
Right.
But he's not concerned about the Kedusha at all.
Right. Let's put it this way, right? In other words, and again, just to see if we understand it really well. If you're Rabba, with the first 10% of the animal being born, the first 20% of it being born, the first 50% of it being born, if you're Rabba, you realize that at that point in time, it doesn't have Kedusha. It has nothing. It's nothing. At that point in time now, it has simply no Kedusha. Rabba's of the position, only when the majority comes out, then and only then it receives Kedusha. Meaning for Rabba, there's nothing incremental. It's all, literally in this case, it's all, when I say all, I mean majority, it's all or nothing.
That's what it seems to be from Mishnah, because it says if it's coming in pieces, it doesn't say keep one, accumulate and
that's
just throw it to the
good. That's exactly what you're saying. Is exactly what bothered the Gemara. That's exactly what bothered the Gemara. But then the Gemara said, okay, so let's inject a little bit more into the Mishnah, right? Maybe the Mishnah is saying that if you put it down, it's like the whole thing came out. Okay, you're right. By the way, that's not what the Mishnah says, but that's where the Gemara comes in and says, okay, but we'll put that in the Mishnah. And we'll understand. No, we won't put it in the Mishnah, but we'll understand the Mishnah that way. Okay, by Rava Hachu Be'evarim Acharov, Olo Hachu Be'evarim Acharov. Okay, again from here until the bottom of the page, a lot of detailed questions in terms of the birth of the firstborn animal. Here we go. Question number one. We talked about this just a couple of days ago. When you look at a limb of an animal, so a limb is an entire object. Now, obviously, the limb is connected and part of the body of the animal. Okay, but still, the limb is a unit. So the Gemara says, When it comes to limbs, do we go after the majority of the limb or do we not go follow the majority of the limb? Now, what does that mean exactly? Hey chidami, the Gemara's next question. Let's say the majority of the fetus came out, but in order to get to the majority, we calculated a little, there was only one part of the leg, a minority of the leg that came out, but that made up the sum total of the majority of the fetus that comes out. The Kami Baile, and perhaps the Gemara now is saying, the question now is, Haimiyot Devrai Basarov De Eva Shadinan Lei or Basaruba De Uver Shadinan Lei. Now, because it's that little bit of the limb is attached to the other part of the limb, and the other part of the limb is the majority, maybe even though it went outside, but halachically, we'll still look at that part of the limb as if it's inside, because since the majority of that particular limb is still inside. And the Gemara says, ridiculous. Meaning, right, ridiculous. Pshita, it is obvious, says the Gemara. Deloshav kina ruba de uber vaslin basarov aver. Right? Ben puts it very well. It's part of the body of the animal. Meaning, if the majority of the body is out, you don't start looking at limbs. And you don't start calculating, well, that limb, even though, right, some of that limb, no, let's say it better, most of that limb is still inside, so therefore whatever went outside is still inside as well. The Gemara says, we're not going to do that. That's not even up for discussion. Ella? So the Gemara says, but here's what we'll discuss. Kegon sheyatza chetziav berov aver. Let's say 50% of the fetus came out. Now, there's a general discussion that we have often in Shas. Do we know exactly when 50% comes out? F shalit sam same, EF shalit sam same. Okay, put that away. Meaning, I know that's an issue, and the Gemara usually discusses and entertains that. Right now, let's just say 50%. 50% of the fetus has come out. Now, 50% is not a majority. Right. The kegon chetzi berov eiver. However, of that 50% that came out, part of that 50% is the majority of a particular limb. Can we now say, so since the majority of that particular limb is outside, can we look now at the minority of that limb, which happens to be inside, and say, that's also outside? Since most of the limb is outside, so we'll look at the rest of that little limb, and we'll say, that's also outside, tipping the scale, and now allowing us to look at the fetus as if the majority of it is outside. V'kami ba'ile ha'omid de'gavai mahu l'mishdaya basarov eiver.
Still part of the body, though.
Okay.
It's a fair
reaction. It's a fair response, but the Gemara is entertaining.
This whole discussion, is this all like in slow motion? Because once this process...
Correct. It's analysis. It's conceptual. It's trying to give us a way to conceptualize how to view birth. Tashma yatzaruba harizi kaver. So the Gemara talks about the Mishnah. The Mishnah says if the majority comes out, so then we're talking now about a bechor. It has kedushas bechor. Now, the Gemara's question over here is so simple. We're in Chulin. We're in the fourth parak of Chulin. We've gone through most of Shas. Right? We are now but not even 1 year away from concluding Shas. No one's ever told us about Rov. Meaning, of all the concepts that come up in Shas again and again, Rov is a pretty popular one, majority. Okay? We've gone through Sanhedrin already. Like, we know about Rov. Okay? So now, here we are in the fourth parak of Chulin, and the Mishnah is teaching us this halacha known as Rov. Like, that's what the Mishnah is teaching us. It must be that the Mishnah here is more subtle. The Mishnah's got to be giving us some sort of nuance.
What about the Chulin was written first? How do you know?
The way I presented the question...
I'm actually asking, do we know the order that was written?
Rebbe wrote Shas in a specific order. That's for sure correct. Yes, that's absolutely
the order. Yeah. He did it in order, but was this the order?
Was this his particular order? The assumption is yes. So it's, the way I presented the question may not be perfectly historically accurate, but the point is that Rov is such a basic concept. Like, that can't be what the Mishnah is telling us. So, how is that you cover? My rubo ilay, my rubo mamish. So if it's, you're talking really, that's what the Mishnah is talking about, is Rov. Hashta lo ashmina deruba kukulo? Like, yeah, that right now in Shas we're learning about ruba kukulo. So the Gemara says, Mishnah must be much more subtle. The Mishnah is talking about a case where 50% came out, and of that 50% came out was a majority of a limb, and the Mishnah is teaching us that you can look at the rest of that limb as if it's already out, tipping the scale so now that the majority of the animal has come out. So the Gemara says, no. Meaning, not necessarily. The Mishnah doesn't have to be discussing that case. Kagon shiyatza rubo v'mir eiver v'kamash mal doshev kina rubo de uber de behema vazin and basar eiver. No, you know what the Mishnah can be teaching us? Teaching us what we suggested just 2 moments ago, which is that really the majority of the animal came out. Of the majority that came out, to get to the 51% of the fetus that came out, they had to count a limb. Only the minority of that limb came out. The majority of that limb was still inside. And maybe we would say that that minority is still considered inside because it's following the aver. And as Ben points out, no, you don't follow the limb, you follow the animal. Majority of the animal is out, that's it. End of that discussion. Next question of the Gemara. By Rava. From here until the bottom, essentially, the Gemara is going to be, it's going to be trial and error. It's going to test the following theory. Okay, well, theory, hypothesis, it's basically a theory. Look, in order for an animal to have kedushas bechor, it has to be peter rechem, right? It has to break open. Peter means to break open. It has to break open through the womb, okay? In other words, it has to be a regular birth, right? With the fetus rupturing through the canal of the mother. Right? I don't mean to use such strong and grotesque terminology, although as we get to the next Gemara, the Gemara will use strong and grotesque terminology. But I'm saying rupturing, meaning, right, actually breaking, and we'll see in just a moment, the Gemara will actually, because some of these scenarios that are going to be coming up in the Gemara now are unbelievable and extraordinarily painful. But essentially, not right, not for us, not for the weak of stomach. Correct. And certainly, you know, it's early in the morning to really discuss some of these cases. But, and it's just a little bit more of Gemara before we conclude with all these cases. But the basic idea is like this. It has to be Peter Rechem. It has to break through the womb. So if it doesn't break through the womb, and you'll see all the scenarios that Gemara is about to provide for us, it might be that that animal that came out, even though it was a birth, is not Kedushas Bechor. Start off with an easy scenario. By Rava. So Rava makes the following inquiry. Karcha b'siv. Let's say you go into the womb, right, and you wrap up the fetus in siv. Leaves, palm leaves. You wrap it up. Mahu. Or the Gemara's next question is talus. Not necessarily what we go to shul with in, but in other words, clothing. You wrap it up in clothing. It's both of these are basically the same question. And now it comes out. Okay, Peter Rechem. Maybe not. Because Peter Rechem actually requires, right, surface-to-surface contact. Meaning that the fetus actually has to hit the base Rechem. So maybe, I know it sounds strange, but maybe doesn't have Kedushas Bechor. Mahu. Bishal Yasa Mahu. The next question of the Gemara. What if it comes out in a sack? In an amniotic sack? So the Gemara says, what? Bishal Yasa Orchehu. Right? Isn't that how it always works? So Ela Bishalya Acheres Mahu. What if it went out in a foreign amniotic sack?
What does that mean?
I don't know. It's kind of hoping you tell me. You're the physician.
They did a transplant, right?
Maybe twins. I'm not sure. Karchaso the achzaso the hotziaso mahu. Now this little bit of Gemara is very difficult and can turn into a long discussion and could really take us through the rest of this morning. And I don't want it to because of time consideration. I'll just do it like Rashi, and there's a lot of issues, but Rashi says. The case over here is that who's ever giving birth, the midwife, we're talking about animals over here, so, but the midwife puts her arms in and wraps up the baby in her arms and then removes it from the womb. So Karchaso wraps it up. The Achzaso, where did I just go? I'm sorry, I just lost my place. I apologize. Karchaso v'achzaso v'otziaso mahu. So the Gemara says, it wrapped up the baby and enveloped it. So again, what the problem is that the baby itself, because it was wrapped up in the midwife's arms, didn't make contact with the womb, with the canal. And in order for it to be Peter Rechem, it actually has to be skin-to-skin contact between fetus and canal.
You cannot use a forceps.
Forceps also would be in the same discussion. And again, it becomes all this becomes complicated because does that mean that there could be, in other words, there's no part of it, exactly my thought process, no part of it touched? Now, hechidami, idanafik derech reshe patrase. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. In other words, if the head comes out, remember, head is birth. So if the head pops out already, and then you went in, you wrapped it up, so it's exempt. Ela danafik derech margolosov. So the Gemara says, well, it came out derech margolosov, it came out via its feet. And as the feet comes out, then the midwife goes in and wraps it up and pulls it out again. Now, I'm just going to tell you, you see the second Tosfos on the page? There are only two of them. Second Tosfos on the page, right? Everything I just told you is basically Rashi's pshat. Right? Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam has a lot of problems with that. And it gets into a question of what the correct girsa of the Gemara is. Rabbeinu Tam actually has a totally different girsa of the Gemara. For him, the case is totally different. Okay, so again, I'm acknowledging that Rashi, I just offered Rashi's pshat.
If you said that the head comes up and then it's
puttered
from being a
bechor? No, it is a bechor once the head comes out.
Okay.
It is a bechor.
Like, from
Peter? Right, no, patra, huh? Okay, I understand that, but Peter over here means to break out.
Right, to break out.
Okay, Ba'al Suhu Chulda. Okay, next case. Okay, and they're going to get stranger and stranger as we go along. So far, these cases have been pretty much, you know, pretty normal. Ba'al Suhu Chulda. Following scenario. You have a rat. A snake is probably a better way to imagine this case. Because you can... Weasel. Because you can imagine a snake swallowing an entire animal. In this case, a fetus. Right? Although, in this particular scenario, it's going to swallow and then cough it up again. So, snakes don't do a good job coughing it up. So, ba'asu chuldavot siomahu. So, the Gemara says... The first way that Gemara presents the case... Rodent goes in, swallows it, and pulls it out while inside the stomach of the rodent. So the Gemara says, why is that a question? Ha'afikte. Okay, so in other words, now it came out. It didn't touch anything. It's the same questions that we've been dealing with before. So the Gemara adds a little twist to this case. Ela, balasavotziaso, vichnisaso vihikiaso, viyatso me alav mahu. Okay, so the Gemara makes the following suggestion. What happened is rodent came into the womb, swallowed it, came out of the womb, didn't like it so much, went back into the womb, spit it up again into the womb, and then allowed it to come out through a normal birth. Hidbik shnei rechamim v'yatza mizeh v'nichnas lezeh. Okay, rechem to rechem, womb to womb, right? Okay. And what happens in this particular scenario, again, you understand, the Gemara right now, is this case going to happen?
Yeah,
is
right, this thinking
correct? The Gemara is just trying to give analysis, conceptual analysis, in terms of what is the definition of birth and what creates a bechor. So you put two female animals back to back. So what happens is that as the baby exits one womb, it goes into the womb of another cow. So mahu dide pater delav dide lo pater odoma delav dide nami pater. What's the definition of petarecha? Petarecha means it bursts through its womb, but if an animal bursts through another womb, that's not petarecha. Or no, petarecha could be taken. Extraordinarily literally, meaning as long as you have a fetus going through the womb, even though it's not its own natural fetus, that's considered petarechem. Teiku, the Gemara says, you know what? I don't know. I do not know what is, when the Torah says petarechem, what is the actual definition of petarechem? By Rav Acha, nif sechu.
We don't know what I understand, but what petarechem is.
We have a basic understanding, but in a lot of these subtleties. No. We know, but in these subtle cases, which again are unlikely, but that's not the point. We're not 100% sure. Does petarechem have to be the natural act of birthing, or no? Petarechem could be even an
but
un.
We know for sure that C-section, for example.
C-section for sure is not petarechem because it has to go through the.
No Peter Rabin needed for C-section.
That's an absolute.
But forceps could be a question.
Right, but forceps may be a question. Based on the Gemara that we just learned today, by Rav Acha, nif sechu kosle beserecha mahu. Okay, now we're going to get into the world of grotesque. So let's say that the canal is open, meaning there's basically no, it's not a narrow passageway now to get from the womb to the outside, but basically it's the hole's got destroyed. So it basically, baby just kind of drops out and makes no contact with the canal. There is no canal. So avir recha mikmatish v'ha'ika odoma nigias recha mikadesha v'haleka. So the Gemara now is suggesting, look, on one hand, it did go through the airspace, or maybe that's not enough. Maybe for it to be petarechem, there has to actually be physical contact between the baby and the canal, the birthing canal. Right. By Mar Barav Ashi, walls of the Beis Arechem, walls of the canal were torn away. Mahu. Nekru lesnu. So the Gemara says, well, that means they're not there. Ella nekru v'taule b'tzavare mahu. Okay, this is it. This is going to be the pinnacle of disgusting. The Gemara now suggests the following. The Beis Arechem, the canal, totally torn away. Right? In other words, it's still in the shape of a ring. And what happens is that it finds its way around the neck of the baby as the baby leaves. So now it, the baby did experience going through the womb. Just happens to be that the womb was not attached to the mother at that moment in time. Bimkomam mikadeshay shelo bimkomam lo mikadeshay. So do we say that the rechem has to be in its right place, meaning connected and attached to the mother, in order to give that fetus kedushas bechor? Or maybe no, maybe as long as you have connection, physical contact between the fetus and the Beis HaRechem, even though the Beis HaRechem is currently not connected to the mother, maybe the baby has Kedusha as Bechor. What if the Kosle Beis HaRechem, the walls of the canal are peeled away? It seems to be very similar to what we were discussing just a moment ago. So he says in response, you know, very similar to a question that we asked. By Rabbi Zer, Amila, by Mine Rabbi Zer, May Rav Asi, May Rabbi Asi, Omen Meruba Allah Parts, Vyazaderech Parts. Let's say the majority of the Beis HaRechem is there, right? We use this terminology, Omen Meruba Allah Parts. We use it in the world of Sukkah, we use it in the world of Erevin. And now we're using it in the world of the walls of the Beis HaRechem. So the canal wall. So let's say most of it's still intact, but the fetus came out via the part that's not there. Or let's go the other direction. Parts meruba ala omed v'yotza derech omed. Let's say the majority of the wall is not there, meaning you have more opening than you have wall. And the baby, so the yatsa derech omed, the baby came out making contact with the wall, although that wall was only a minority. My, I can only buy leila parts murbala omedika omed ba'olam aval nigmamu lo kame baile. So the Gemara says, but at least in those questions, there was some kosley Beis HaRechem. There was some wall of the canal, but in the case of nigmamu, it just simply there wasn't anything there left. Yes. Yeah, here in this, we're talking about the canal.
It's not the uterus.
Correct. Right, Peta Rechem, right. The word Rechem usually is a reference to the uterus. Here in the act of the birth, we're really focusing more on the canal, which is right.
We didn't get any conclusions.
A lot of questions being asked. A lot of unresolved issues. Okay. Next. Okay, we're moving on to the next Mishnah. We're on Ayin Amud Beis, and we start a new topic, and the topic over here that we're going to be considering is the topic of Tumah. Okay, now let's be clear. The carcass of a dead animal gives off Tumah. Okay? Tumas Nevela. Okay, it's a source, meaning once an animal dies, and it dies without the benefit of a Shechita, so now that animal is a source of Tumah, Tumas Nevela. Contact with the animal, physical contact, carrying the animal will transmit tuma to the contactor or the carrier. Okay. Now, there's another concept that I want to introduce you to before we start this Mishnah, and that's a concept we'll talk more about it tomorrow, but just to get grounded in this concept, the concept called tuma balua. Now, tuma balua literally means absorb tuma. That means that if I have something which is a source of tuma, but it's enveloped in something else which is not tuma, so it's enveloped and it's protected, so it doesn't give off tuma, generally speaking. Okay? Generally speaking. So that means now that if you have a fetus inside of an animal, inside of its mother, and that fetus dies, so generally speaking, we would say that that fetus was what's called balua. It's absorbed, it's inside the mother. So it's not going to give off tuma until it comes out. Once it comes out, so now it's on the ground, so now it's going to give off tuma.
Is that a stillbirth?
Yeah. So now, with all that in mind, let's take a look at this next Mishnah. Behema, shemes uber besoch me'eha. If I have an animal where the fetus is dead, and the fetus is still in utero, v'hoshit haroe es yado, v'naga bo, and then the shepherd goes in, and puts his hand inside and actually makes contact with the dead fetus, so it doesn't matter whether we're talking about a kosher animal or not kosher animal. By the way, tumas nevela is true for both kosher and non-kosher animals, right? So according to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, he touches it, he does not become tame. Okay. Now the simple explanation of the Mishnah is, of course, it's inside, it's belua. That's a simple explanation, but as we get to the Gemara in just a moment, you'll see that perhaps might not be the explanation, but that really is a simple explanation of our Mishnah. Rav Yosi Aglili Omer, b'tamei atame b'tahor tahor. And Rav Yosi Aglili says, well, it depends. If we're talking about a kosher animal, now the language of the Mishnah is so confusing, I will try to unconfuse. I'll try to. Behema tahora means kosher animal, right? Doesn't mean a
pure animal.
It means behema tahora means in a kosher animal. Meaning in the world of a kosher animal, you have a dead fetus inside and you reach your hand in and you touch the fetus, you're tahor. Okay? You will not be tameh. If it's a behema tameya, which means in this context, a non-kosher animal, and you reach in and you touch the dead fetus, so then you're going to be tameh. Now, okay, so behema tahora does not mean pure, meaning, remember, whenever you talk about live animals don't give off tumah. So over here, behema tameya, behema tahora just simply mean kosher versus non-kosher animal. That distinction is very hard to understand, almost impossible to understand. What difference does it make whether the animal is kosher or not kosher? Okay. And also, the other consideration that you need is, I understand, the fetus is inside. It's belua. It's absorbed inside. Like, what? Why would you ever be tummy?
Yeah, but the guy touched it.
Okay, but he touched it while it was inside. Okay.
And he had direct contact with it.
But, agreed, not disagreeing, but it was blue, it was inside. Okay, so let's see the Gemara. My time at the Tanakhama. Amar Rav Chisda. So what's the reason behind the Tanakhama? Now, both Rashi and Tosfos point out over here, the Gemara could have just simply said, it's blue, it's absorbed inside. That could have been the approach. Both Rashi and Tosfos says that tomorrow we're going to get introduced to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva does not subscribe to Tuma Blua. Okay? So this answer of the Gemara is really to satisfy the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Without Rabbi Akiva, we could have just simply said Blua. That could have been the simple answer of the Gemara. But now the Gemara is addressing even the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Again, this is what I just told you is both Rashi and Tosos. So my time at the Tanakhama, I'm Rav Chisda Kavachom, Im Ho'ilo, Imo Le'Hatira Bachila, Lo'Tilo Le'Tahari Midei Nevela. Look, the mother doesn't have to be a Nevela, because you shech the mother, and the mother won't be a Nevela. The mother will be now a Behemah Shchuta, which means that it will not give off Tumah. If I can save the mother from being a Nevela, so you don't think I can save the fetus as well? Right? Because remember, the fetus at this point in time is a limb of the mother. So mother can be saved from being an avail, so can the fetus as well. So the Gemara says, okay, that's an argument, but that argument only applies to kosher animals. Meaning the concept of shechita is only by animals which are subject to shechita, i.e. kosher animals. But what about non-kosher animals? That argument won't work by non-kosher animals. Next question of the Gemara. Ashka chan behema tara behema tamei minalan. Correct. So now that that's the argument, so now Rav Yossi's position in the Mishnah seems a whole lot better. So Amakra v'chiyamos mina behema zu behema tamei asher hi lachem lachla zu behema tara itkish behema tamei la behema tahora ma behema tahora ubra tahora behema tamei ubra tahor. Answer of the Gemara, hekesh. The Torah puts together behema tamei and behema tahora in the same pasuk. So just like a behema tahora, dead fetus inside doesn't give off tumah, so too is by behema tameah. Even though you don't have an argument of, well, you could just shech the mother because it's a non-kosher animal, but you have a hekesh, right? Remember back in Zvachim, somewhere right in the middle of Zvachim, somewhere in the Nuns, right? We had a discussion of layering a hekesh on top of a kavachomer, and the Gemara over there says that's a no-no. You can't do that. And over here, the Gemara just did that. So good. So that's exactly what I was thinking. Perfect. That's what I was thinking also. meaning you cannot layer a hekesh on top of a kal v'chomer in the world of hekdesh. We're not talking about hekdesh right now. We're talking about chulin. So the Gemara didn't flinch when putting a hekesh right on top of a kal v'chomer. V'Rav Yosef Glila my taima. And now, what's the basis of Rav Yosef Glila? I'm Rav Yosef Damakar v'chol alecha kapav v'chol achaya haholaches. The Gemara quotes a pasuk from Parsha Shmini, "Holech al kapav." It walks on its paws, right? Not on its split hooves, but rather on its paws. Otherwise known as a non-kosher animal, right? Horse, right? Horse walks on the flat of its foot. Horse doesn't have hooves, right? Doesn't have the split hooves that the kosher animal has. So the pasuk says, "V'chol holech al kapav v'chol achaya holechet mahalchei kapayim b'chaya tameitilach." Anything that walks on its paws, I was mitame for you. Meaning not just the animal when it dies, but the fetus inside as well.
I thought that kapav always meant like it had like a hand, like a lion.
It walks on the sole of its foot. Right? Kosher animals don't walk on the sole of its foot. They got little, you know, they got twinnings on the bottom. Terrible word. I'm sorry. The chol alech al kapav v'chol achay alech is mahalchi kapayim b'chay tamayt alech. El mi'ata kol b'mei par l'tamid mahalchi kapayim b'chayahu. So the Gemara says, if that's your criteria, so we go back to our mutated animals. Let's say the fetus inside that died actually had paws. In other words, it didn't have split hooves. Can you have that? So we discussed this the past couple of days. Yeah, it's a mutation, but yeah, it can happen. So based on your criteria, that fetus should be tame. So the Gemara says, no, mahachi kapayim b'mahachi arba v'hai mahachi arba b'mahachi shmonahu. So the Gemara says, no, it's not going to work out because in order for it to be tame, it has to be a fetus which walks on four, which is hosted by, the mother is, an animal that walks on four, right? The kosher animal is mahachi shmone, walks on eight. Right? Because each foot is split. So it's called Mahachi Shmona. Para b'me gamal lo tetame. Let's go the other direction. Let's talk about a camel where its fetus has split hooves. Okay? Again, some sort of mutation. Or maybe it was crossed. Whatever the case is. Lo tetame de Mahachi Shmona b'mahachi arbahu. Holech v'chol holech l'rabas par b'me gamal. So the Gemara says no. Because once the mother is Mahachi arba. Once the mother walks on four, so whatever's inside and is dead is going to give off tuma. So the Gemara says, what if the fetus is kalut inside that which is kluta? So that should give off tuma. So okay, but then we go back to Rav Chisda's kavachomer, and Rav Chisda's kavachomer is, yeah, but if you could shech the... if you could check the mother, so then it's going to save the fetus inside. So maskefla a little bit more for this morning. Maskefla Rav Achtaboy Barami Chazir Beme Chazir Asol Olatam De Mahachishmona Mahachishmona. What about the pig? The pig walks on eight. Pig has split hoofs. Pig, of course, is not kosher. Pig does not chew its cud. It's the only animal, right, that has the split hoofs but doesn't chew its cud. But again, in this context, in this drasha that we're working with, the whole criteria is split hooves. So Alam Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak Mehacha. So Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak says, okay, you know what? Abort, abandon. We're going to go with a different drasha. Nefesh ki siga b'chol tamei o b'nivlas chaya tamei o b'nivlas behema tamei o b'nivlas sheretz tamei v'chi nivlas behema tamei mitamei uvetorah lo mitamei. What does that mean? The carcass of a non-kosher. What does that mean? Carcass of a kosher animal also gives off tuma. Ela eza zeh, ze uber shebet tamea tame uvetahora tahor. The pasuk over here is referencing, alluding to fetus. Fetus of a non-kosher, is the dead fetus of a non-kosher animal is going to give off tuma. The fetus of a kosher animal, I'm sorry, let me be clearer. The dead fetus of a kosher animal is not going to give off tuma. Omeachar denafkele medrav nach mayitzak. The Rebbe Yitzchak Lameli. Good. Now that we have this drasha, and this is an explanation of Rabbi Yosef Aglila, obviously the Tanakhama won't agree. So, and later on the Gemara is going to say, what's the Tanakhama going to do with that pasuk? Okay. So now, So the Gemara says, so now that we know that, that drasha that we had earlier, Rav Yitzchak, that we kind of abandoned. There's a drasha to be made over there. So Elav the Rabbi Yitzchak have Amina Kula Lechad. Rabbi Hudas Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says, because tomorrow when we start off the daf, we're going to see a whole drasha of Rebbe, a long drasha of Rebbe, and I might have thought that this pasuk from the end of Parshas Vayikra was going to be used exclusively for the drasha of Rebbe. So the drasha of Rav Yitzchak is there to tell us, don't use the entire pasuk for the drasha of Rebbe. I know none of that was clear. We didn't learn the drasha of Rebbe yet, so it's hard to be clear about something we haven't seen yet. Okay, so tomorrow we'll understand the drasha of Rebbe. We'll understand what the pasuk could have been learned about. Okay. Finish the discussion of Bechor this morning. Analysis of how to view the birth of a Bechor. Is it that every little bit that comes out is incrementally has Kedusha or no? Only when you get to Rov, then and only then it has Kedusha. That's a machlokes between Rav and Rav Huna. The Gemara's halach, the halacha seems to side with Rav Huna, that it is incremental. And then the Gemara went on to a whole number of scenarios in which the animal was born but didn't break open through the rechem. A number of scenarios that was the Gemara wonders whether or not that's considered a birth. A lot of them were left unresolved. And now, today we started the discussion of a dead fetus inside. Does it give off tumah? And Rav Yossi's position is it depends whether the animal, the mother, is a kosher animal or a non-kosher animal. And tomorrow we will finish off understanding why there's a difference between whether the mother is kosher or not kosher. Okay, we'll stop over here.